lads, ladies, and non-binary loves. Welcome back to my podcast, What Is This Even About?, where one teenager, myself, aka Nia Simone, talks about groups that suffer from inequality. Without people of color, we wouldn't be as far as we are today in the advancement of LGBTQ+ rights and its normalization in our culture. So today, I will be giving you a history lesson on an important event in the LGBTQ+ rights timeline, the Stonewall Rebellion, its lead activists, people of color in the LGBTQ+ community who have made a difference in the world, how people of color in the LGBTQ+ community suffer from double discrimination, and where you can get help if you are in the LGBTQ+ community. It's important, I just wanted to address that my podcast is with the intention to omit exclusion and promote inclusion, and with that being said, let's get into it. Stonewall Rebellion summarized. You might be asking, isn't it the Stonewall Riots? Why are you calling it a rebellion? And my reasoning for this is that, one, I've heard many participants say that it didn't start as a riot. It initially was people coming from Judy Garland's funeral uptown earlier that day, coming to the Stonewall Inn to relax until the police pulled one of their famous raids. And then some participants said it was just people calling out and dancing and making noise because they wanted their rights, which is totally understandable. So this is just for clarification. You'll probably hear me say the Stonewall Rebellion, the Stonewall Uprising before I say riots, really. And so, yeah, just so you're not confused, there you have it. But movements before Stonewall. Many people believe that Stonewall commenced the gay rights movement, like in general, like there were no gay rights movements beforehand, and that is false, and I'll give you a couple examples. Well, first, the worldwide movement truly started back in Berlin in 1897 with the founding of Magnus Hirschfeld's organization, World League for Sexual Reform, or WLSR, which was the first gay rights group ever. Then in 1924, German immigrant Henry Gerber created the first documented U.S. gay rights organization, the Society for Human Rights, or SHR. Police raids made the group disband in 1925, but not before they published issues of their newsletter, Friendship and Freedom, America's first newsletter for gay rights. The Daughters of Bilitis, America's first lesbian rights organization, was founded on September 21st, 1955 in San Francisco. Now, it should be apparent, but if you weren't aware, in the 1960s and previous decades, LGBT Americans weren't accepted. And an example of that being that having same-sex relationships was illegal in every state except for Illinois. Then in 1966, members of an organization dedicated to gay rights called the Mattachine Society had a quote-unquote sip-in where they would openly declare their sexuality at bars, and when any establishments turned them away, the organization would sue those establishments. Once the Commission on Human Rights declared that people in the gay community had the right to be served in bars, police raids were reduced for a while. Although this was a step forward, it was still illegal to engage in any gay behavior, meaning showing obvious affection for someone like kissing, holding hands, or whatever, for someone of the same sex. For this reason, police continued to harass and tear down and raid gay bars, and many of these bars remained open without a liquor license, but that's partially because a lot of them were owned by the mafia, but that's a whole other story. So now the question stands of why the Stonewall riots were so important then, if they weren't the first gay rights movement. And historian David Carter answers, because it led to the creation of the gay liberation movement. And to add on to that, I'd like to say it was really the start of the modern day gay liberation movement. So coming into now and how we have and we're fighting for LGBTQ+ the movement now, that was kind of the start of what it is today. Then the Stonewall Rebellion. There's a myth that the Stonewall Inn was an especially beloved bar, but in all honesty, the place was a mafia sleaze bar. There were, in fact, many other gay bars that people happened to love, but that's besides the point. The point is that it wasn't the bar itself that was so special, but the events that occurred there. With the warrant on hand, the police raided the Stonewall Inn early in the morning on June 28, 1969. They roughed up a ton of people in the bar and arrested 13 people, those of which being some employees and some cross-dressers. What's worse is that female officers would take someone they believed were cross-dressing to the bathroom and check to see what their sex was, which is extremely offensive and completely just not right. So, sick and tired of the harassment they were receiving from the police, instead of leaving the scene, many people who were at the bar hung around the building, getting maddened and wanting their rights and being maddened by how people were treating them and the police were handling them especially. So people started calling out for their rights and being loud. And this is where the story kind of changes. Before I continue, I want to give you the truth on a big question surrounding Stonewall, and that being who started the rebellion. Many people believe that Marsha P. Johnson, who I will talk about later, threw the first shot glass, or that Sylvia Rivera, another person I will talk about, threw the first bottle to start it. But neither of them were there that night when it started. Now, the person who actually started the uprising is known as a tough butch. A butch person is a lesbian of masculine appearance or behavior. So a tough butch crossdresser who was fighting back against some police officers when one hit her over the head and tried to arrest her, shoving her into a van. She supposedly exclaimed, "What are you doing? Why are you just standing there? Why aren't you doing something?" And that's when people started to act. So many people believe that it was Storm DeLavier, who was a butch crossdresser and a bouncer for lesbian bars at the time. But there is no conclusive evidence of who the woman was. And Storm DeLavier herself sometimes said that it was her, sometimes said that it wasn't her, so we don't know for sure. But anyways, after this happened, people started throwing any objects they could find, like bottles and coins, at the police officers, and in little to no time, a crowd had built up of hundreds. The mob tried to burn down the building, and eventually the fire department and riot patrol arrived to put out the fire and disperse the crowd. For the next 5 days, large protests continued, which became more intense after the newsletter Village Voice published their experience at the uprising. Many organizations to help gay rights began from the events at Stonewall. On the one-year anniversary of the rebellion and riots, three protests commenced, one in New York, one in Los Angeles, and one in San Francisco. This day was then recognized as Christopher Street Liberation Day, the first gay pride day in America. Activists from this cause. The first two that I will speak about weren't at the rebellion that night or that morning, and it's unsure for the third one, but nevertheless, they were all important in the LGBTQ plus rights movements that took place after the events at Stonewall that morning. So my first person I'll talk about is Marsha P. Johnson. Johnson was an African-American drag queen who was a major advocate for trans people of color and made a huge difference in Greenwich Village, where she was recognized as the quote-unquote mayor of Christopher Street. She was the co-founder of Street Transvestites Action Revolutionaries, or STAR. This organization, founded in 1970, was the first like it to advocate for and house homeless drag queens, queer youth, and runaways. Later on in her life, she became an AIDS activist as well. Sylvia Rivera. Rivera was a Latina American drag queen and activist for trans rights and gay liberation. With Johnson, Rivera was another co-founder of STAR. Storm DeLavier. Storm DeLavier was a biracial butch and the musical director, occasional stage manager, and only woman in, and host of the Jewelbox Revenue, a touring drag cabaret where she was recognized for her style and as one of the earliest drag kings. She was a bouncer at many lesbian bars in the 80s and 90s, and she earned the name the quote-unquote guardian of lesbians in the village for being a volunteer street patrol worker. Many people suspect that she was the woman that started the rebellion, but once again, it is unsure. Today, it's been 51 years since the Stonewall Rebellion, and people are still fighting for equality for the LGBTQ+ community. Stonewall was such a huge event, and I already brought this up before, but it was such a huge event because it's known as the beginning of the modern LGBTQ+ movement. Other people of color in the LGBTQ+ community who have made a change. Some other influential people in the LGBTQ+ community are Bessie Smith. She was an African-American bisexual jazz singer recognized as the Empress of Blues. Gladys Bentley. She was a black lesbian performer during the Harlem Renaissance. Known for wearing a tuxedo and top hat, she was recognized as quote-unquote Harlem's most famous lesbian in the 30s and one of the first drag kings. Bayard Rustin. He was a gay African-American leader in the civil rights and LGBTQ+ movement. He was one of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s close advisors and was the head of architect of the March on Washington in 1963. James Baldwin. He was a gay, black social critic and writer that illustrated themes of bisexuality and homosexuality in his works, as well as taught about black and queer lives and experiences. Ernestine Eckstein. She was a black lesbian woman that was the vice president of the New York chapter of Daughters of Bilitis. She was the only black woman present at the first gay rights protest. She was one of the first activists in the black feminist movement in the 1970s and a part of the organization Black Women Organized for Action. Audre Lorde. She described herself as, quote unquote, black, lesbian, feminist, mother, poet, warrior. She was a leader and advocate for the rights of women of color in the feminist movement in the 1960s. Alvin Ailey. He was a gay black choreographer who founded the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater in 1958 so that people of color could have somewhere to dance when being rejected by other companies for their skin color. According to the theater, Alvin Ailey wanted, quote unquote, to carry out his vision of a company dedicated to enriching the American modern dance heritage and preserving the uniqueness of the African-American cultural experience. The extra struggle for people of color in the LGBTQ+ community. A joint study from Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and NPR displays that LGBTQ+ people of color were over 2 times as likely to address experiencing anti-LGBTQ+ discrimination when dealing with police and applying for jobs compared to their white peers. The majority of the 489 LGBTQ+ adults who responded to the 4-month-long survey said that they had quote-unquote experienced slurs, as well as quote-unquote insensitive or offensive comments. And overall, at least according to the study notes, quote-unquote 1 in 5 reported being quote-unquote personally discriminated against because of their sexuality or gender identity when applying for jobs. Looking at LGBTQ+ people of color specifically, though, reports of employment discrimination rocket up to 32%, nearly 1 in 3. Then there's another study, a study by the Trevor Project, that states that the proportion of LGBTQ+ youth reporting a suicide attempt in the past year, which was in 2018, was higher amongst youth of color, which was 21%, than white non-Hispanic youth, which was 18%. Places you can call for help. There is the Trevor Project, and this project is a national organization that provides crisis intervention and suicide prevention services to anyone in the LGBTQ+ community under the age of 25. The GSA Network, or Genders and Sexualities Alliance Network. It is trans and queer youth uniting for racial and gender justice. There's the It Gets Better Project. This project inspires people to share their stories so that the next generation of LGBTQ plus members know that it will get better. Q Chat Space. This is a digital LGBTQ plus center where teens join live chat, professionally facilitated online support groups. There's the Trans Lifeline, and this is the first transgender suicide hotline, and the number is 877-565-8860. And I'll say it one more time, but you can also look it up, or I'll be putting it also in my Instagram. But the number is, once more, 877-565-8860. Like I said, you can Google any of these, or soon you'll be able to find this and more in the link in my bio on my Instagram. What is this even about? Also, I just wanted to add before I leave is that there isn't enough representation of people of color in the LGBTQ plus community and the Black Lives Matter movement. It seems that especially trans Black people aren't represented as they should be in the Black Lives Matter movement. And there is a Black trans actress named India Moore, and they wrote a poem about this called "Can I Come Too?" You'll also be able to find it in my story, or you can look it up. And the poem is a cry to cis Black people, meaning Black people who are not in the LGBTQ plus community, to fight for trans Black people in the Black Lives Matter movement, because their lives matter too. So, in the end, with the tribulations Black and brown people are currently facing, it's extremely important that we stand for all and that we all stand for each other, because people of color influence so many things in our everyday lives, and none of them should be left out. Guys, keep growing, keep learning, and I'll see you soon. Bye!